Every year in mid-February, millions of people express romantic desire for each other by exchanging heart-shaped box of chocolates, flowers, and valentines. Children reveal hidden infatuation by sending a card as a secret admirer. Retailers stock their shelves with merchandise covered in stylized hearts and cupids. It's Valentine's Day. Is it possible that this seemingly innocent celebration actually promotes unbiblical teachings? These are the headlines. In a moment, we're going to look at the important news behind the headlines.
Welcome to the Good News Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. The Good News doesn't try to cover up today's problems. This is a program that dares to look at today's dilemmas and ask the questions that must be asked. It seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. Please join Gary Petty for a discussion of today's Good News subject.
Valentine's Day acquires its name from a Catholic saint, although exactly who he was is a matter of debate. The two most famous Valentines are a Roman priest and a bishop, both who suffered martyrdom in the last half of the 3rd century. During the Middle Ages, Valentine's Day became increasingly popular in Europe. February 14th was significant not only for its religious meaning, but because it was widely believed that birds began to mate on this date. Chaucer, writing in the 1300s, mentions the mating of birds on Valentine's Day in his poem, Parliament of Fowls. European customs of a few hundred years ago included the common belief that a girl would marry the first bachelor she saw on that day. One version was that she could conjure her future mate's image by visiting a graveyard on St. Valentine's Eve. The custom of sending Valentine cards grew popular in the 18th century. In the early 1800s, commercial Valentines appeared, and soon there was no end to how entrepreneurs could make money from this holiday. Valentine's Day became so popular in the United States that one 1863 periodical claims that it was second in celebration only to Christmas. Today, Valentine's Day is as popular as ever with children and couples. It's definitely one of the biggest money-making days for florists, candy makers, and gift shops. In reality, the origins of Valentine's Day predate Christianity. An easily readable source of the origins of many holidays can be found in Celebrations, the Complete Book of American Holidays, printed by the editors of Hallmark Cards. Writer Robert Myers has this to say about the origins of Valentine's Day. Quote, "The most plausible theory for St. Valentine's Day traces its customs back to the Roman Lupercalia, a feast celebrated in February in honor of the pastoral god Lupercus, a Roman version of the Greek god Pan. The festival was an important one for the Romans, occurring when it did. Naturally, it had some aspects of a rebirth rite to it." Unquote. The original festival, celebrated on February 15th, is founded in the ancient legend of the infants Romulus and Remus. According to the legend, the two brothers were abandoned but discovered and nursed by a wolf, or lupus in Latin. The two boys would grow to maturity and found Rome. Lupercalia was celebrated in honor of a number of pastoral deities, and ceremonies included the sacrifice of goats and a dog. Young men dressed in the sacrificial animal skins would run from a cave, said to be where Romulus and Remus were cared for by the wolf, banishing strips of goat skins. Any woman struck by these thongs was assured fertility. Over the years, numerous customs were added to the celebration. One custom was for the names of girls to be placed in a box to be drawn by boys. The two were then considered a pair for the coming year. As Christianity spread throughout the Roman Empire, it was common for pagan converts to retain customs from their previous religions. Edward Gibbons, in his classic work, The Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire, states, "After the conversion of the imperial city," he's referring to Rome here, "the Christians still continued, in the month of February, the annual celebration of the Lupercalia, to which they ascribed a secret and mysterious influence of the genial powers of the animal and vegetable world." The Pope is said to have eradicated Lupercalia from Christian observance in the last decade of the 5th century. In reality, the intermingling of paganism and Christianity had become inseparable in much of the Western world. Saturnalia and Mithraism were adapted into a December birth date for Jesus. Pagan spring fertility rites merged to form the basis of Easter celebrations. Lupercalia evolved into the observance of St. Valentine's Day. I want to go back now and quote from Celebrations, the Complete Book of American Holidays. Quote, "Everywhere that Christians came into power, they immediately adapted the holidays and customs of the people to their own creed. Now, it was a simple matter to call the day that this drawing of the girls' names from a box took place, as, say, Valentine's Day. To Christianize the heathen practice of picking lots for sweethearts, all that was needed was to replace the names of the girls with names of saints, and to have the young people emulate the particular virtues of whatever saint they drew. Incidentally, this custom is not dead today, and is still observed in some religious orders. As Myers also states, it was always more fun, of course, to pick a girl's rather than a saint's name. Consequently, by the last of the 14th century, the custom had reverted to its original form. But how could this happen? Why would a day honoring pagan gods become associated with Christian saints? The ancient Romans worshipped gods and goddesses involved with every aspect of life. Jupiter, the chief of the gods, was the god of rain and storms, while his wife Juno was the goddess of womanhood. Minerva was the goddess of handicrafts and wisdom, Venus of sexual love and birth, Vesta of the hearth and sacred fires. The Greeks considered Mercury to be the messenger of the gods, but the Romans worshipped him as the god of trade, and business people celebrated his feast day to increase profits. Others included Mars, god of war, Castor and Pollux of sea travelers. Kronos was the guardian of time, and of course Cupid, the god of love, whose magic arrows caused both humans and immortals to fall in love. Oh, the list goes on and on. Romans would genetically call upon the gods, but each deity had his own cult, and worshippers would pray and conduct religious ceremonies to a specific god or goddess to implore help. Christianity, with its emphasis on one God, was viewed by many Romans as a strange superstition or even a kind of atheism that denied the gods. Members of the early Christian church considered themselves saints, meaning holy or separated to God. In Philippians 1:1, Paul greets the church at Philippi as all the saints in Christ Jesus. However, before long, saints in the Roman tradition began to take on the meaning of a special class of martyrs or performers of, quote, heroic virtue. It became common in the 2nd and 3rd centuries for local congregations to honor the death of a martyr by celebrating the anniversary of his or her demise. The local cult would then offer prayers to the dead for intercession with God. A saint could eventually receive universal recognition by declaration of the Bishop of Rome. The evolution from the early church's recognition of all members being saints to the veneration and worship of the dead is rooted in the syncretism of the early church history. The populace throughout the Roman Empire was not only accustomed to the worship of the Greek and Roman pantheon, but to cultic worship of local deities. It was an easy step for Christian congregations whose roots were in paganism to replace the customs of local cults with the worship of dead martyrs. Over the centuries, saints were canonized for any number of events, problems, illnesses, and occupations, each celebrated with his or her own feast day. Saint Stephen is the patron saint of stonemasons. Doctors are to pray to Saint Luke, who is honored on October 18th, fishermen to Saint Andrews, and carpenters to Saint Joseph. There are patron saints for farmers, hunters, shoemakers, even comedians. The primary saint being Mary, the mother of Jesus. Is this form of worship acceptable to God? We'll be back with more right after this.
Please call for our free booklet, Holidays or Holy Days. Call 1-800-966-9232 for your free copy. You need to understand and consider what God Himself thinks about this holiday. In our free booklet, Holidays or Holy Days, you can discover the truth. For your free copy, call 1-800-966-9232.
Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org.
We'd like to welcome to today's program Randy Stiver, a pastor in United Church of God. Randy joins us in a telephone hookup from Eugene, Oregon. Welcome to this edition of Good News Radio.
Well, thanks, Gary. It's always a pleasure to be on Good News Radio.
We've been talking about the origins of St. Valentine's Day and the concept of the worship of saints. Is the observance of Valentine's Day really harmless, or are there issues of importance for Christians?
Well, for those who consider themselves true Christians, I think there are great issues at stake in Valentine's Day, Gary. As a holiday with religious underpinnings, Valentine's Day frankly corrupts the knowledge of the true God, and it stirs up a great deal of error into the way of life that God's followers must live. Jesus said very clearly in John chapter 4, verse 24, he said, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Now, Valentine's Day is not a part of the true worship system of God from the Bible, and that should be vitally important to a true Christian. And you stop and think about it, God must be worshipped as God says, not as people say. There's another point, Gary, that I think is important as well. This has to do with what Jesus refers to as the two great commandments in Matthew 22, where Jesus was explaining to somebody what those great commandments were. And the first one was, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, most people pay homage to the second great commandment about loving your neighbor, but very few in modern Christianity today think about the first commandment, because if you strive to love God above all else, then you will worship God as he says on the days that he says and not on the days borrowed from paganism. And from that point of view, Valentine's Day completely violates loving God above all else.
There's another issue here. Is there a biblical problem with the concept of praying to saints as intercessors?
Well, yes, there is. Now, let's go back again to John chapter 4, where we were before. That's the famous conversation between Jesus and a Samaritan woman at the well. Now, the Samaritans were distantly related to the Jews, going back about 700 years, but they had constructed what more or less was a counterfeit version of Judaism as viewed by Christ himself. And she was asking Jesus questions, and Jesus answered her. He said, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain that was near where the Samaritans lived nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. And then the verse that I had read earlier, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Now, the bottom line of this all is, the basis of the New Testament worship of God comes from the Old Testament. In the statement, Jesus said that salvation is of the Jews. The Samaritans didn't know what they were worshiping because they had a blend, a syncretism of the truth of the Old Testament blended with various pagan rituals, and so they had a corrupted version of understanding God. Now, modern Christianity ends up being in almost the same exact position as the Samaritans of old. And worshiping saints is a direct carryover from worshiping various pagan gods and goddesses, or, for that matter, idolizing people. And in addition to being wrong from that point of view, it's fruitless, because there are no saints in heaven right now. That's pretty revolutionary to think about, but that's the case. John 3:13, a chapter earlier, Jesus himself said, no one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. So only Christ has gone to heaven, and no one else is in heaven except the Father and Christ and those angels doing their bidding. There are no immortal souls of humans or saints or otherwise in heaven, so it's useless to pray to those who aren't there. And if I could just add one thing, Gary, there's another aspect about why we shouldn't be praying to saints. And that tells you where they are. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, a famous passage about the second coming of Christ, the Apostle Paul wrote this. He says, I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep. And the phrase fallen asleep is a reference to having died, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we who believe Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Again, the word using sleep, those who are dead in Christ, in essence. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep in the Lord, is what is implied. For the Lord himself, and now this verse talks about the second coming, the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of an archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. So the dead in Christ, which would be the saints, are asleep in the grave waiting to be resurrected. Therefore, it is fruitless to pray to them. Not only that, it's wrong, because that's not what God says for us to do.
Well, I know this is a sensitive topic, but what about praying to Mary, the mother of Jesus, to help us in times of trial?
Well, quite frankly, Gary, I think that the entire Christian world, and the non-Christian world for that matter too, needs to get used to disappointment. They have been misled and bamboozled by so many false teachings for nearly 2,000 years that traditional Christianity bears very little resemblance to the original Christianity of Jesus and his apostles. Mary was the human mother of Jesus, but she died a long time ago. She was called, in the words of Gabriel the angel, the highly favored one. And Gabriel said, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Well, Mary was a saint, as are all those who worship the true God, as Jesus said for them to do. And as a saint, she also waits in the grave to be resurrected at the second coming of Jesus Christ.
Well, then that leads us to another question. Is there an intercessor between God and mankind? I mean, how does God want us to approach him?
Well, there is an intercessor. That's the good news, Gary. But it is an intercessor in the singular, not an intercessor in the plural. An intercessor is one who pleads our case before God himself, and that, the intercessor, is Jesus. Now, because they are dead and in the grave, the saints of old are not our intercessors. Hebrews 7 makes this pretty clear. Speaking of Jesus, it says, but he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Christ has an unchangeable priesthood as our high priest in heaven. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. So Christ intercedes for us. There are many other scriptures that talk about that too, but this summarizes it. And then there's one in 1 Timothy chapter 2, because an intercessor is in essence a mediator between you and someone else, in this case between humanity and God. And in 1 Timothy chapter 2 it says this, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, and that is the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. So Christ is our intercessor and our mediator. There are no saints in heaven doing that. That's, as I said before, and as you explained, I think, earlier, that's a carryover from the idea of praying to various gods and goddesses in the pagan pantheons of ancient culture.
St. Valentine, Cupid, and Jesus Christ. We have more to talk about this right after this.
Please call for our free booklet, Holidays or Holy Days. Call 1-800-966-9232 for your free copy. You need to understand and consider what God himself thinks about this holiday. In our free booklet, Holidays or Holy Days, you can discover the truth. For your free copy, call 1-800-966-9232.
Are you tired of hearing nothing but bad news? Well, here's some good news. You can receive a year's subscription to the Good News Magazine absolutely free. The Good News Magazine isn't a Pollyannish cover-up of today's problems. It is a magazine that dares to look at today's problems and ask the questions that must be asked. The Good News seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered in the pages of your Bible. Today's radio program is sponsored by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. Your free subscription to the Good News has already been paid. You will never be sent a bill or be obligated in any way. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. That's 1-800-966-9232 for your free subscription to the Good News behind the headlines.
We're back with Randy Stiver, pastor of a United Church of God congregation in Eugene, Oregon. Randy, what real harm can there be in the celebration of lovers in the name of St. Valentine? Besides, what does it matter that some of the modern customs stem back to pagan rites?
Well, Gary, there's another way of asking those important questions, and it kind of comes out like this. Is anything right, and is anything wrong? Is the true love that God created to be expressed in marriage of any importance in the world today? Are there really any right ways or wrong ways to worship God? Since so many people say God doesn't exist, the question could be rephrased. What difference does it make what you do if there is no God? Does anything matter at all? And I think that describes the condition of the spiritual condition of the world today. For the most part, we live in an age of incredible spiritual confusion. People don't know up from down or back from front, and increasingly, they don't have a clue of what is right and wrong. A great share of the fault for that confusion, quite frankly, falls at the feet of traditional Christianity, going back through history, where it mixed two parts of pagan values and practices into one part of biblical teaching. Now, that's a recipe for spiritual confusion, because you blended the truth with the falsehood of ancient paganism. And we have those carryovers in our modern times, which include Valentine's Day. It all goes back, frankly, Gary, it all goes back to the quest for truth. If a person wants to worship God, then he or she must seek God's truth, not the pseudo-truth of Lupercalia or Romulus and Remus. Those who worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. And Valentine's Day is of the wrong spirit, and it is not the truth.
Well, Randy, thanks for joining us today here on Good News Radio.
Always a pleasure, Gary.
For your free copy of Holidays or Holy Days, Does It Matter Which Days We Keep? Call the toll-free number 1-800-966-9232. I know that many people are also looking for practical Christian writings for their families. I'd like to recommend a magazine that is free on the Internet called Virtual Christian Magazine. There's 10 issues a year featuring great articles on Christian living. You can read the latest edition by going to www.vcmagazine.org. Nowhere does the Bible approve of praying to dead saints. In fact, Jesus declared in John 3:13 that no one except himself has ascended into heaven. Remember, if you don't have a Bible in front of you, go get one and follow along. The saints wait in their graves for the resurrection to occur at the return of Jesus Christ. Venerating dead saints propagates an ancient custom that has no basis in reality. The Bible encourages Christians to pray for each other, but heavenly intercession is reserved for Jesus Christ. At Jesus' death, the veil in the Jerusalem temple, a heavy curtain that separated the Holy of Holies representing God's throne from the rest of the temple, was supernaturally torn from top to bottom. This action revealed a new access to God made available by the sacrifice of Jesus as the Messiah. A Christian's relationship to God is with a personal and intimate Father. The need for another heavenly intercessor denigrates this primary role of Jesus Christ. God warned ancient Israel, his people, chosen to represent true religion, not to mix pagan customs with worshiping him as the one true God. Moses warns them in Deuteronomy 12:29-31, "When the Lord your God cuts from before you the nations which you go to possess, and you displace them and dwell in their land, take heed to yourself that you are not ensnared to follow them. After they are destroyed from before you, that you do not inquire after their gods, saying, 'How did these nations serve their gods? I also will do likewise.' You shall not worship the Lord your God in that way, for every abomination to the Lord which he hates, they have done to their gods." In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul compares mixing paganism with Christianity to worshiping demons. Holidays like St. Valentine's Day continue to secularize into icons of Western culture, creating a caricature of religion. Most people couldn't care less if its origins are in the Roman Lupercalia or Western Christian doctrines that are not biblically based. It's this very apathy in how to worship God and corresponding moral decay that is the result of mixing Christianity with paganism. Jesus said that his followers would worship the Father in spirit and truth. observance of this holiday is just one of many traditions that must be questioned if Christianity is to return to its foundation laid by Jesus Christ. Why were you born? There's a big difference between the future God wants for you and simply going on the way you have. The choice is up to you. Join us next time when we continue to explore what the Bible really says about you and your future. For Good News Radio, I'm Gary Petty.
Please call for our free booklet, Holidays or Holy Days. Call 1-800-966-9232 for your free copy. You need to understand and consider what God Himself thinks about this holiday. In our free booklet, Holidays or Holy Days, you can discover the truth. For your free copy, call 1-800-966-9232.
Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org. You've been listening to the Good News Radio program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. We seek the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. To receive your free copy of the literature offered on today's program, please call toll-free 1-800-966-9232. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232.